Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
the Tony Award-winning musical Wicked, very gay, very same-sex, in my opinion. Elphaba is a gay icon across the board. Glinda is clearly bisexual. The song, What Is This Feeling So Sudden and New? I mean, do I need to go on? I will go on. There's also a song called For Good, I Have Been Changed For Good. They sing it to each other, talking about, like, I have your handprint on my heart.
That means boob.
Yes, exactly. Case closed.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's goody? We in LA?
Yes.
In the same
still
fucking building. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me.
Okay. You're making this
She's
awkward.
Shy. She's super shy. Look at her.
Once again, we're at the amazing workplace of Daniel Luna from Functional Series. Shout out, shout out. And he just flicked us off. And
I still love you.
And we have an amazing guest today that we're super stoked to have. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Christina De Leon.
Air horn. What's goody? What's up?
I'm chilling. I'm happy to be here. I've got some snacks. I've got some beverages. It's not a bad way to spend a Saturday.
No, it's not bad. You're gonna.
I hope not.
She's gonna tell us her deep dark hopes, and we're gonna know everything about you in about an hour. You know.
Yes, I love it.
Your ambition.
I love a heart to heart.
I know we met 10 minutes ago, but but still.
Best friends. Right now. Automatically.
So you kind of do a lot of things. You're a writer, a producer, a director, an actor. Like, what don't you do? I think that would be a shorter list.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't DP. That is something that I'm still trying to figure out. Like, even camera angles and movements and frames. Like, that is not my forte. I did not go to film school.
Photography, but, like, director of photography is like a underrated.
Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are speaking like film to each other, like film school to each other. Yeah. I'm just like, hi.
I did go to film school.
You did go to film school. Me,
not that it does a whole lot, but
that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
Exactly. But we want to know a little bit before we get into who you are now. We want to know about where you come from, your upbringing, your trauma.
Are you scared of clowns or not?
Let's do it. Oh my god. So I was born in the San Francisco Bay Area, and then moved in like to the LA area when I was about 10. So Ventura County. I moved from a community that was like primarily Black and Filipino right into white suburbia. So that was a real interesting time in my life, and then stayed there until like I was ready to come out here and like live on my own and get my ass kicked by LA.
Yeah, that's like initiation here.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. So when you didn't go to film school, like you said, so I guess when did you find out, or when did you realize that this is what you wanted to do?
I did musical theater in high school, and it was a program that is not really like anything else I've ever heard of. It was called musical show production, and we didn't just perform. We like would take one whole semester to pitch show ideas to each other, pick one, write the script. We had like little committees, so we had a script committee who would do the script, we had a music committee who would write the music, I was usually head of the dance committee, or at least on the dance committee, who would do choreo, costumes, just like all these departments basically. And then at the end of the semester we would put the show on, and it was like the most important thing in my entire life. Like, I was such a bad student, and I would just skip class to go like build sets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was my everything. And so that I was excited to be part of that, and it taught me a lot more than just like originally I was interested in acting, because I loved the thrill of like performing. But then I realized later on that I loved the thrill of putting something together, and then performing it.
Yeah.
First I sort of went the acting route. I went to an acting conservatory program right out of high school, and loved that, learned a lot. I did that for like 8 months or so, and then went out into like the auditioning world. I wasn't getting a lot of auditions, and the ones that I was getting, I didn't identify with a whole lot. So I was frustrated, to say the least. I didn't have any real material for a demo reel. So that's when I started writing. I wanted to write something for myself to be in and then cut together a show reel. And then I just like went further with that. I never ended up putting myself in anything until a little bit later, and just like kept writing. Like I was kind of addicted to it. Then directing came along after that, when I was like, okay, well, I have all these scripts and I kind of want to make something of them. And I didn't know, like, when I was ready to make something, I didn't know what made a good director, like when I was looking at director's reels. Because I would see something and I would think, like, oh, this person's good, but I don't know, is that the editor? Is what makes this good actually the director? Because I was so new at it, I didn't know all the things that a director does. And so for some reason, I thought, like, well, maybe I'll direct it. So that's how that happened. I just didn't know what made a good director. So I thought, like, oh, that's a perfect place to come from, I guess. Yeah. So kind of, like, did a backwards, like, moonwalk into every aspect of what I do now.
I've heard of a lot of actors, like, because they have to read scripts all the time. Like, that's what they do, like, all the freaking time. So I've heard of so many actors turning to writing because they're like, I can write a better script than this.
Yeah.
Or because they want to write themselves in. That's like a big thing with anybody that's basically not like a straight white guy, because like there's so many roles for those dudes. But like for like women of color or queer people, like, where are we? Like, we're nothing but stereotypes and criminals.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen that a lot, like, including Daniel, who's like who's hosting us right now. He like wrote himself into a series, and that's such a like look at all this work that we have to do just to get on screen.
But you know, I mean, it only helps us in the long run, because it has informed every part of what I do now. Like, I write from an actor's perspective, and when I was in the writer's room, I understood how things were going to cut together, having directed before, and when I went up to produce like my episode, I was very comfortable on set, whereas I have heard a lot of staff writers are kind of intimidated by the production process. I was like, oh, this is, I know who everyone is, I know what everyone does. It only helps you.
I mean, we have to be like, you know, twice or more times better than other people, but we're better than them. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I mean, so jumping into that, I guess, how did you get to where you are now, which is you wrote for iZombie, you wrote for writing for the Baxters.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of a big deal, like, or a huge deal, at least to me. So I guess how did that come to be? Like, where did you start and how did you get there?
The Baxters came from a meeting. I got the meeting from my manager, and I went in and I really liked the team behind it. And it kind of just like all clicked together. It being like a faith-based book series was scary to me for reasons that I feel like I don't need to explain.
No, I'm terrified for you.
Yeah. But I really liked the team behind it, so I just like trusted that. And that was my first like paid writing gig, and it was a great experience. It was pretty much boot camp. everything that I had been doing on my own. I was now getting paid to do it and, like, had real deadlines. Like, I've always given myself deadlines, but I had, like, a real, like, you better get this done because we're shooting something. And, like, page count had to come in at exactly, like, 21 pages. I couldn't.
That's so hard.
It's so hard because I am a wordy girl. So I was like, oh, but it goes over a little bit, but it's just, it's like stage direction. And they're like, I don't care. Cut it.
Yeah. They're like, make the stage direction shorter.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was a wonderful first experience. And again, just came from a meeting. And then iZombie came from, it was like a long con. I used to work at the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf over near Warner Brothers. I worked there for like 5 years. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I have to get there at 4:30. Always worked the morning shift, met a lot of great people. One of them was Mr. Rob Thomas, who created Veronica Mars. I was a huge Veronica Mars fan.
Who was it?
I know.
Have you seen the reboot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, continue.
we can get into that. He came in one morning, and it was like when we first opened, so it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was just me and him, and I was like, holy shit. Just the man who created like my favorite TV show is standing in front of me. And I had no chill about it. I had to tell him how much I loved him and how much I loved his show and that I donated to his Kickstarter. And thankfully I didn't scare him off because he continued to come in and we got to talking. And again, such a great like opportunity to just be kind of one-on-one with this guy. And then I just would start to casually mention that I was a writer-director. And then one morning I asked him if I could send him the first episode of my web series. And he very, like, happily gave me his email address. I sent it to him. He became a fan of the show. We kept in touch over the course of, like, 4 or 5 years about. And he would, like, read stuff. And finally, before season 5 started, I just, like, I was having drinks with a friend who is also on the show, and he was like, have you ever thought about reaching out to Rob? And I was like, I feel like that chance kind of came and went. And he was like, you should just try it again. And that took a lot for me to do, but I did it. I said, I have this new sample that you haven't read. If you guys are staffing at all for next season, I'd love to be considered. And he wrote back saying, I don't know if we'll have a next season, but I'd love to read it. And I hadn't heard from him. I didn't hear from him after that for a few months. And then out of nowhere, I just got an email. And the subject said, call me. And then the body was his phone number. Mm. And I called him. And he was like, hey, so we're going to offer you a staffing position on iZombie. And then I just, like, screamed in my car.
Jesus.
I was like, sir, I will not let you down. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Like in your car.
Holding
like,
so back tears. Yes. Like, God bless America. I was so excited. It was like, I didn't assist or anything, so that was another reason. Yeah. I was like, this
everyone
is...
Everyone starts out as PA, right, as assistant.
Yes.
Like, so that's...
Going
unless
up
you
track.
Have, like, a history, of course, which I think you kind of did.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a crazy story. It's unheard of. So, yeah, that's how I got iZombie, is by fangirling over Rob Thomas 5 years ago.
That's so cool.
That's so fucking, like... That's real life. Like, I love that.
It's cool.
It's a very LA story.
Yeah, it is. Like a classic Hollywood story.
Yeah.
A Star is Born.
Yes.
So let's talk about your web series, Nasty Habits.
Sure.
Which
we
wanted to see it, so we took a look. And we liked a couple of episodes in particular, Something Blue, Something Blue.
stood out.
Let's get straight to the gay stuff. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we don't have to. I actually want to start off with like the story of how you, I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit where you were writing scripts for one of your acting classes, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that first episode was an assignment in an acting class. The instructor wanted to teach everyone to create their own opportunities, and I had already been in the habit of writing, so I was like, easy peasy. He said, like, you can have, I want everyone to come in next week with a scene. 5 pages, it can be about whatever you want, as long as it's 2 people and they're smoking a cigarette. And he said, like, when we're all finished with them, we can work on them in class, and if we want, we can do like a night of scenes at some theater somewhere. And so we came back the next week, and I was only one of 2 people who did the assignment. unfortunately. And so he was like, okay, well, let's read them. And it was the first time I heard my work read out loud.
It's an experience.
It is an experience. Yeah. And it's such a necessary part of the process. And I didn't even realize it. So I got, like, excited about it, and it got pretty good feedback. And then I was like, okay, well, I guess there's not going to be a night of scenes or anything, so I just have this thing. And I had been interested in producing something, so I thought, like, this seems easy enough. It's 5 minutes, two actors. It was a nighttime exterior shoot, which is not easy, but
lighting is a beach.
Yeah, I didn't know that back then, so I learned a lot of lessons on that day. So I decided that was the one that I wanted to do. And in pre-production, I just kept thinking of more ideas for more stories and other habits, and so I thought to make a web series out of it. And now we're in our third and final season.
You guys are currently producing it?
Yes, we shot two episodes in June. And it's funny, the way that we do it is, especially with season two, is kind of like whenever I have the money to do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's anthology, I don't need to schedule like 18 actors to come in over the course of like a month.
Right, you can just do one
at a time. Yeah, so I scheduled four actors to do two episodes over a weekend. And so now those are in post-production. And working on some more scripts, and we'll shoot, I don't know, whenever those are done. It's a very like relaxed process.
Are you still directing and writing all the episodes?
I wrote and directed the two that we shot. Season two, I wrote like six of them or something, and directed five, I think. But I was excited to welcome some guest directors. One of them was Enrico Colantoni from Veronica Mars.
Nice.
Keith Mars. That was the one that I acted in, simply because he was like, well, you should do it. And I was like, I'm not gonna say no to Keith Mars.
Here we go.
And also Bethany Joy Lenz of One Tree Hill. Huge fan.
Oh yeah, One Tree Hill. Out. Like, don't like straight stuff very much, but I was into that show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, I also am tortured for no reason.
Yeah. Oh, she was such an emo girl. I loved her so much.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I will be directing more, writing more, you know.
That's good. That's awesome. So yeah, I want to hear the story about it was something blue was first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to hear the story of like, cuz you shot it twice.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we did. Yeah. When did I say that?
In the another podcast.
Okay.
I radio stalked you.
Yeah, we did shoot that one twice. Originally, it was not gay, which was the problem. Yes. That was like, so when I first wrote that, I felt at the end, I was like, I know where this should go, but I wasn't ready to be like, I guess, a queer artist yet. It's such a funny thing to come out in so many different aspects, and I didn't even realize that coming out as a queer artist is something that happens to people, is like a benchmark situation that happens to like queer people. So I just made it like that. I made them straight, and I made the conflict like that feeling when you know that your friend is going to make a mistake. And, you know, those were the stakes. And it all, the shoot day was really chaotic, and everything kind of fell apart. Someone else was directing it. And it wasn't necessarily anyone's fault, really. I think it just, I mean, I am a hippy-dippy kind of person. So I think that it was the universe saying, like, no, this is not how the story is supposed to be told. It just all was, an incomplete product as well. When we were editing, me and the director came to a decision of like, let's scrap this one, and it was just like a very expensive mistake.
So originally it was like a friend basically feeling like her friend was making a mistake by marrying a guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for any ulterior reasons.
Yeah, exactly. It was still Becca and Jenny. They were just like really close friends, and there was nothing gay about it. And then when we decided to scrap it, I was like, I still like this story, I still like these characters, So I started looking at it again, and I just like had the courage all of a sudden to write that on paper, and then it that's what it was. I was like, oh, nice to meet you, Becca and Jenny, my gay friends. And then, yeah, decided to do that, to direct that on my own, which was another thing. Like, I was so, for some reason, so nervous about being pigeonholed as, like, a queer writer and director, which now I'm, like, I'm looking for something gay to do.
Yeah.
Into that. Like, that's I so need good. It.
It's addictive.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so funny, or, like, interesting, I should say, because, like, queer people or whatever have to go through that, but whenever like straight like men like go and do something gay, it's like, wow, how'd they do that? Yeah. Like, so impressive. Yeah. Like, okay.
Right, exactly.
So that's so funny.
So brave, right?
Yes. So brave in the Marines. Wow. Yeah, so okay, and then the second season you continued the story.
Yes.
Something borrowed.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Thanks.
I love those actresses so much.
They're so good.
I
like them
amazing.
A lot.
And I love working with them. Like, they actually met on Something Blue.
Okay.
And became best friends. And now they're, like,
they great,
absolute best
great
friends.
Great chemistry.
Yeah.
So good.
That was, like, powerful writing, powerful acting.
Oh, my God.
I was, like,
you.
Really, like, oh, my God. Like, I was, like, taking notes. This shit is amazing.
Yeah.
This writing is fucking amazing. I was just like, oh my god, what am I watching? Like, my life. Like, I was
yeah.
so I was so interested in just there, and I was like, wow,
oh
this
my
is
god.
It was really well done.
Thank
I was like
you.
Oh, I'm not the only one that was a bridesmaid to their ex. Okay, cool.
I have not had that experience, but let me tell you.
Ooh,
that sounds hard.
Being in love with your best friend, that's
oh my
like,
god, who hasn't been there?
Right, I'm dating that person like 8 years later, so that was like, woo, my reality. So
yeah, yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I just had to do something again with them, and I had them back one last time for the third season. That's what we shot in June.
What is it called?
It's called Something New.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I hope you guys like
it. I wonder if there's a Something Old coming up to that.
Maybe, I don't know. I am obsessed with them.
It's them when they're aged.
Yeah.
You put them in like old makeup.
Like, it was so good.
Yeah, they're awesome and truly like such delights to work with. Like, it's funny growing with people in that way. Like, it was our last time with them as far as I know right now, and Zoe was like, yeah, this is kind of emotional. This was my first job in LA.
What?
Right?
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
weird. Yeah.
Damn, she's good.
and like, just kind of, yeah, there were some emotional moments on set where I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna see these characters again, and they are just so wonderful characters and great ladies to work with. I love working with actors who really, really bring something new. Like Claudia in particular, when I write Jenny, I hear kind of a more subdued attitude and voice, and she brings so much, at least in this scene. Well, yeah, I can't spoil too much, but she brought a lot of life to it that I wasn't expecting at all. So the first couple of takes, I was like, oh, it's perfect. And, you know, just working with people like that who are going to surprise you and just, they know the characters, so you just gotta let them, like, do their thing.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to let them do their thing. They're so... I cannot say enough great things about them. They're amazing.
Yeah, we can tell. Like, I was like...
That was so crazy.
Every, like, line that was being delivered, I was like...
Yeah, oh, my God.
Like, I don't feel things, but I was like, wow, this is really... Good job. You did
Thank
really good.
You.
It
Thank
really,
you.
It did
I don't,
it.
You know, I don't think people realize, like, how hard it is to do that. Because I was talking to Mari, actually, or to one of my friends earlier about... like how good it looks and like how great the production is.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's really hard to do without like a freaking network funding it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really want to like get into like, how were you able to make this happen? And like, and
yeah.
kind of like maybe give advice to other people wanting to do the same, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was really, really hard. Season 2 took us like 2 years to shoot and then another year for post, just because I was for the most part paying for it myself.
Right.
And
it's expensive.
It's expensive. And you get to the point where, like, you see how much work it takes, so you want to pay people.
Right.
You know? So I was, a lot of it came from coffee bean money. Then I started to, like, assist for an acting coach. I was walking dogs. I was doing surveys. I was doing anything just to, like, I didn't go out. I was doing nothing but paying for this series. My girlfriend helped a lot, which was really amazing. She helped with rent. She, like, paid more rent. My parents chipped in a little bit. My older sister. Like, I would take donations when, God, I put them in some tough positions. I was like, I'm shooting this weekend and I need $600. God. And my sister was like, I got you, boo.
Support.
So I had a lot of support, but I think they trusted me because I was really, really, like, really putting everything into it, and it's not easy, but it is, like, now I have a show.
So yeah, now you have, like, the best, like, demo to anybody that, like, you can do some good shit.
Yeah, it's like it's gotten me in rooms and it's gotten me jobs. It's gotten me the places that I want to be, so I'm very grateful for it and the experience.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's I mean some might say I did it the hard way, but I also, like, sometimes if you wait for financing, who knows when that's gonna happen, you know? So I guess if I had any advice, just, like, put like money into it.
Yeah.
I really love and respect, I have a lot of friends who are very much like, just do it with, like, what we have right now, and I totally get that, and I think that's a way to do it also. But what I liked about putting so much money into the series is that you're now betting on yourself. So if I'm gonna put, like, $4,000 into an episode, which is, like, sort of roughly, I mean, I don't know if you're supposed to say that as a filmmaker, everyone is so secretive about their budgets, but you're gonna make it the best version of the script that you can make it, and, like, you're really gonna make sure it's the product of the absolute best that you can do at that point in your life, you know?
Yeah, like, the value is gonna come through.
Yeah, for, I think, sure. So
it looks amazing.
Oh,
it
thank
really
you
does. It looks so good.
I have such a great team. My DP is phenomenal. She's a beast. She's like, we call her No Breaks Dawn, because she just, like, doesn't need a break. She just wants to keep going.
That's wild.
It's, like, incredible to watch. I was very, very impressed. I was like,
oh, thank you.
Am I watching, like, a web series? Like, this is very well made.
Thank,
like,
you.
Shout out to you, because, like, wow. And I feel like most people that break into anything have to kind of just create it themselves first. Like,
yeah.
Issa Rae did the same thing with Awkward.
It's becoming
Black
a thing. Yeah, it's, like, you have,
I mean,
to go.
I feel like that's the only way to do it now.
World, mm-hmm. Like,
and you just took the initiative, did it. Said, I don't see myself, or I have this vision, I have this story, no one's letting me do it, I'm gonna do it. Fuck it. Punk
yeah.
rock.
Thank you. Thank you. It's crazy. It does feel at this point like there's hardly any excuse to just wait, because everyone has access to at least someone who has access. Like, everyone knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who has a camera. Like, yeah, just go do it. Go do it and mean business, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, we're sitting here right now just because we were like, fuck it, let's just
yes.
do it.
Yeah.
Let's just borrow some mics.
Yeah. First, we would borrow mics in
yeah.
the beginning.
This it mic, was, the mic that's in oh, front yeah. of you right now, it used to be my old roommate's mic. And, like, it we was, got to a point where yeah. I just bought it off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
See?
After some time.
Finally with pod money. With yeah. pod money we're getting from the pod. So it's, like, incredible and crazy. So
that's awesome.
It's great. It's great to be able to own your own shit, too. It's, like, mm-hmm. nobody else is, like, putting their two cents in and, you know, like, manipulating it in a way that they don't understand.
You have right. full creative control.
Yeah.
And that's so...
And that's what people look
crazy.
For.
Yeah.
And especially in writers and creators, they, like, they want to see your voice and, like, that whole thing, that's your voice.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It's very much, like, you don't realize how wonderful it is until... And I have enjoyed my time on other people's shows more than I can even express. But you don't realize how wonderful it is to have your own thing until you're kind of doing something else. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, I loved my time on iZombie, And it was nice to come back to Nasty Habits and be like, yes, every part of this is me and what I would do with it, not like serving another person's creative vision. And that's just important to keep as you're moving through the industry and working on other people's projects.
Tell us a little bit more about like your first time in a writer's room, because I know that's daunting. Or it can be.
Yeah. Maybe not always. It was, well, the Baxters was really cool because it was really intimate. It was just like me and two other writers, and
that's really small for a writer's room.
Yeah. Wow. So it was like a nice kind of training ground for me. I was familiar enough when I got to iZombie with like the process. And having known Rob, he was kind enough to let me shadow for a day in the writer's room and in the editing bay in season two. So I had been in that room before, in the iZombie room before.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. That was another thing that took a lot of courage for me, just asking him if I could shadow him.
Can I just like look? Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, that's no problem. Come on in.
Wow.
It was really cool. He's very much like that. Like, he likes to bring people up who show initiative and who like are doing it, you know. So regarding iZombie, it was of course nerve-wracking because I was sitting at the table with these like people who have been doing this a lot longer than I have, and the people who wrote Veronica Mars and Party Down, and it took some getting used to just the environment of an office, because that was brand new to me. But overall, I was pleasantly surprised at how comfortable I was.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I was like, why are you so chill about this? Should you be freaking out?
You were ready
out?
For it. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It was fun, and I learned a lot, and I learned fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The CW is an interesting network in general to work with. They've kind of changed their model. Now where they have like a gay character and everything.
Yeah.
Something like
they
that.
They love it.
But iZombie doesn't, right?
They didn't.
That's so weird.
No, yeah.
Like, especially because a lot of people think that they base like zombieism on queerness.
Yeah, it was, zombieism seemed to be an allegory for like the minority, you know,
just the
insert,
other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Insert an other here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we didn't have any gay characters. As far as I know, there were supposed to be some and then sort of cut for time, like in previous seasons. But it was, yeah, I guess it just like wasn't.
Yeah, there was something about like, I think one of the comics that the series is based on, mm-hmm. one of the main characters is like queer or something like that.
Oh, really?
I think like the brother of somebody. I don't know. I was,
oh,
like,
Liv's brother?
I think so.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
because he was supposed to be, but mm-hmm. his whole story got cut for time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the comics, I think.
Okay, mm-hmm. That
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of people have been. I was reading into a little bit. Like, I like symbols like that, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to. I know it, like iZombie is more like a comedy than it is horror.
Yeah, it is CW's like one dramedy,
mm-hmm.
or it was. We had the finale the other night.
Oh.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was good to see everyone again. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
That's cool. Yeah, but, like, I like to read into the symbolism of, like, horror.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing that when I was researching iZombie a little bit, I was like, what does it mean, though?
Right.
So the queerness came up a lot. But yeah, that's cool. That's good to hear that you had a good first experience, because I've heard horror stories for first-timers in the writer's room.
Yeah, that's, you hear a lot of horror stories.
Yeah, a lot. So I guess what's next? I know season 3 is in production right now.
Yeah, technically.
Technically.
We'll shoot some more when we have scripts.
In a slow production
yeah.
right now.
Yeah. Working on, yeah, I might do some projects that someone else will pay for.
That's cool.
Yeah, in talks to do something short form. And working on some like pilots of my own, pilot scripts. I'd love to get a reading of my feature off the ground. I just finished my first feature like earlier this year.
That's
something
dope.
I'd love to direct. Thank you. Yeah,
yeah.
It was very different from
TV. Oh
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was surprising to me how how difficult it was, because it's only, like I said, I'm wordy, so my first drafts of pilots are usually 70 pages, so to write, like, you know, 30, 20, further than that seems like nothing, but yeah, it was tough. I got lost toward the end.
What's your process? Do you write by yourself, or do you ever, like, share with friends, or...
I always write by myself when it's like to a point where it's sort of, it has some shape, I'll send it to my girlfriend, or I mean, I'm always talking to her about all of my ideas, and she does the same with me. But yeah, it's, my first draft is rarely like officially a first draft, because I go back a lot, which you're not really supposed to do, but I taught myself how to write, so
yeah,
I don't think I'm doing anything.
You have your properly. Own process. Yeah,
yeah.
You're actually kind of lucky. I was taught like a very like technical way of writing, mm-hmm. so I have to force myself to be more expressive in my in my scripts. Like, I cut it down to like the opposite of a novel. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, so I have to like teach myself to like be more, have more personality in it. So that's really cool that you like got to teach yourself to do it, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, grass is greener. Each way has its perks.
Its own benefits. That's true. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, I find outlining to be very difficult. I outlined for the first time my pilot earlier this year because my agents asked for an outline, and I was like, that's different. I don't know, because so much of it is I discover story and voice while I'm in the script. So to project what's going to happen in like the fifth act when I don't even know these characters yet really is so difficult for me. But I did it and ran into... I saw how it helped and how it hindered me. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just about like finding the best way for you, yourself, finding what works for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Pilots, that's pilots. Yeah. So crazy.
It is. It's like when people teach themselves
a different level, right? Like
when people like, teach themselves guitar, I'm like, how the fucking shit? Like, how? Yeah, it's crazy to me. But that's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
So I guess super quick, we don't have to talk about it too much, but I am curious about like how your identity has come into play when it comes to like your writing gigs and stuff. Like, you have the intersection of queerness, mm-hmm. Being Latina, Filipino, like all this stuff. I don't know, like, do you think it's at all like interjected with your life in that way?
I think, I mean, certainly my queerness first and foremost. Like, I can't manage to write anything that is like just
wild
straight.
Hetero.
Yeah. so that's probably the identity that I feel the strongest connection to. I was mentioning before that I feel like I often feel an imposter syndrome when it comes to identifying as Latina, because I was not necessarily raised with those traditions. I was raised more... My mom is from the Philippines, and my dad is... I'm like third generation Mexican on my dad's side. So my mom is, you know, we would eat Filipino food. We sort of had Filipino traditions. And I just saw that side of the family more often. But then, you know, coming out here and people are speaking Spanish to me and I have to be like, I'm so sorry, I don't speak Spanish. Yeah. And seeing the disappointment in their eyes and they're like, why didn't your parents teach you? And I'm like, my dad doesn't even speak Spanish. It's a lot of expectation that I felt like I have often in my life felt like I'm not enough. And so in my youth, I rejected it very much. Because I felt like it was rejecting me a little bit. You
yeah,
know?
Well, that's a classic, right? Like, you reject before it can reject you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm still like getting to know that identity for myself, and I'm interested in seeing how it will seep into my writing and directing.
What about your Filipino identity? You mentioned a little bit that it, like, had similar... You're seeing similarities to, like, Latino cultures as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny, like, seeing... I think it was when I started watching, like, Me Too stuff, like, their editorial stuff, joking about how, like, you go in the fridge and you look at, like, the country crock or the Cool Whip, and it's not country it's crock or beans, Cool Whip. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I was like, my mom does that. It's always something greasy and savory. And that's when I started to be like, oh yeah, we were like conquered by the Spanish.
So like conquered by the same white people.
Yeah. So we just have the same, like, it's all very similar. And so I mean, I just identify kind of like as like a brown girl, you know.
Word.
Yeah.
There's no wrong way to identify as a brown girl. Like,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
And there's no wrong way to identify as Latinx. You know, other people put that on you.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you don't have to accept their idea of what that means. I mean, we actively reject that. So.
Yeah.
No. Fuck yeah. that. We're both queer Latinas. We don't follow those rules.
Yeah.
So you don't have to either. Like,
thank you.
It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. That's empowering.
Yeah. You make aww. The rules.
Yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about where you first saw yourself represented on screen.
If okay. you did.
Yeah.
If you have, because a
other
lot
than
of people
yourself,
have.
Yeah. When you put yourself
when
there.
When you fall in like an right. intersection, it's hard.
It is really hard. I, when I was thinking about this, what came to mind were obviously the most recent instances, and I was like, there's got to be something before then. And when you identify with so many things, not even like, your sexuality or your ethnicity, you're looking for so many different things, you know? Like, honestly, it was probably like Veronica Mars, which sounds weird because she is a straight white girl, but for me it was like her life is beyond high school, and that's how I felt in high school. So she was like, that's me. Mm-hmm. High school is just the setting, you know? There's something bigger than this, and I'm just waiting to get out of here. So that was the first time that I started to identify with TV characters. Probably around the same time, Michelle Rodriguez in Blue Crush.
I feel like Michelle Rodriguez was like that badass, like back in the day,
yeah.
that badass Latina that like all the lesbians wanted to like, you know, be.
Yes, 100%.
I feel that.
Yeah, she like. Was I mean, speaking of things that should have been gay, like that movie should have been gay. She like was gay, right? In that movie,
she's gay in everything.
She's gay in everything.
Yeah,
she's pretty gay in everything.
Even recently yeah. in Widows, like
oh, dude, Widows. Come on, that was. I'm upset. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, she's a gay icon. So that was looking back. Like I was like, I want to be her. I want to dress like her. But then I got kind of scared because I wasn't out yet. And so I was like, oh, she gay. but she was this tough, like, you know, brown girl. And I thought she was cool. And more recently and more truthfully, America Chavez and One Day at a Time.
America Chavez.
Yeah, those are, that's like, we're finally here.
That yeah. woman.
One Day at a Time. Come on.
Yes.
One Day at a Time. I identify yes. with Blanquita very much. I love America Chavez.
Yeah.
She's like, she needs to be on the screen, and everybody's like, everybody's super excited because like Captain Marvel is becoming a big thing in this mm-hmm. next phase, and she's like the leader of this group. I'm blanking on the name,
yeah.
but America Chavez is a part of it in mm-hmm. a certain iteration of the comics. I'm a fucking nerd, I'm sorry. But I'm super stoked because they could totally put that in there.
Yeah.
In fact, you know Liz Perez, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Our
uh-huh.
friend.
Oh, it, come
it's
on.
A mutual friend. Yeah, that's how we, yeah. She should be fucking America Chavez.
Yeah.
Like, we saw her once. We're like, that's America Chavez.
Yeah,
that's
when
done.
I saw her for the first time,
it's
I was like, dude, it's America
Chavez.
Chavez
is here.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
doesn't know yet, but yeah.
But she's going to be America Chavez.
Yeah, she is.
Petition.
We told her.
So,
it's
yeah.
a fact, no.
Okay, yeah, those are two really great,
I mean,
empowering
yeah.
ones.
I got emotional the first time I read it. I was like, is this how boys feel all the time? Like, she is Latina. She is, I think she's, she is, yeah, she is.
She comes
queer.
From a planet
she comes from,
of
yes.
only women.
Yeah. Her moms are queer. Like,
yeah, she had two moms.
Yes, give me more.
Yeah.
She had a lot of angst because of her moms died.
Yeah.
She was and I identify with angst.
And she can punch through dimensions.
Like, and they turned into blue stars. And I don't know if you like super look into history, like the blue star has a big significance for lesbians.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's like basically like they used to put like a blue star like on their wrist, and that's how you could identify
oh,
a lesbian
wow.
way back in the day. Yeah.
Wow.
So, wow.
Oh
yeah.
my God.
I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but that's what I, yeah, I did a whole like article on like the history of America Chavez, so I'm a big nerd.
I love it.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for all of us to have both of those pieces of like of work in the zeitgeist at the moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's way more than what we had when we were growing up.
Oh god. We had nothing.
Because like same, you always try to like, there's no brown people, there's no queer folk, and you're like, she's awkward picking you. Yeah, like
exactly.
My adoration for like Sandra Bullock started from that, and I was like, ooh, she's like not a blonde girl and uh-huh. she's mad awkward. I love it. She has a personality. So I was like, I'm just going to, like, stick just to
anybody
this.
With, like, brown or black hair. Yeah. Was, yeah. They would have to cut it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rachel, what's her fucking... Rachel, what's her face?
Oh Rachel, which one?
Vice?
No.
Oh. I could talk about Rachel Vice all day.
What? The Rachel that she's, like, in love with?
Rachel. Rachel Weisz from...
Rachel Weisz, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
From The Mummy. Yeah, my,
yeah from The Mummy, yeah.
Library like me doing... Exactly. What is it like? What's a library like me doing in a girl like this? Like, I don't know. Iconic moment, iconic line from my wife. She doesn't know it. also, one of the top five movies that made me gay. Mm-hmm. So
what is The Mummy?
Yeah. Oh.
For me, it was The Mummy Returns. I have hardly seen The Mummy. The Mummy Returns.
The second one, yes. though?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
So gay.
Do you not love the second
so
one?
So gay. Yeah. So, and then, like, to find out that that character actually is queer in real life, like, blew my mind.
Which character?
The chick. The other woman that was fighting Rachel Weisz the whole time. Like,
yeah.
She's queer in real life.
Oh, like, she
like,
is?
Yes.
Like, the actress?
Yes, the actress. Oh, she's a Latina, God. Too.
Wylan.
She's
what
Latina.
Do you mean too? Yeah, Rachel Weisz isn't Latina.
She was in like Liz in Septiembre. That was her. This is like a queer Latinx movie. And she gets to be an openly queer person and openly queer Latinx person is pretty
that's
good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Dang, school us.
Like, you know, tiny Cynthia can be very happy. So, yeah. Representation matters. Yeah. Do you find or do you feel like you're drawn to like writing characters that reflect you?
Yeah, I think everything that I write comes from me in some way. Mm-hmm.
That's the best writing, when it comes from you.
Yeah, and it's nice because you can hide it enough to where people are
I
like...
I can turn it into a dude.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll never know.
Yeah, that is truth for me. That's when I know, like, we're doing something. That's like the in the zone, I guess, you know?
Telling your truth.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, I think.
Yeah.
Look at Maite. She's like, yes.
So what are you watching these days? Like, what's gotten you passionate about TV or film or even radio or podcast?
If
or
you are
anything in the
media. If you have time.
So a lot of people are like, I don't watch anything. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Any I've kind of managed media. To watch some stuff. Mm-hmm. Pen 15 stands out.
Every like writer that I know is talking about Pen 15.
Have you guys seen it?
Of course, I've seen it.
Yeah, obsessed.
I am obsessed with it. It is the best. It's my favorite show of the year by far.
Wow.
It's really good. Just remembered everything. You know, they remembered things
like,
I forgot about.
Like, did you just film your entire like preteen experience? Like, yeah.
Like, were you guys writing this down when you were 13?
Yeah.
It's crazy, and like, you know, Maya's journey being Japanese American and feeling othered in what is it, episode 7, I think.
The Spice Girl episode.
Yeah.
Woo.
It that obviously spoke to me and the romance between the two of them. Like, that's kind of what I mean when I say I appreciate platonic. I don't know if it's platonic. It feels like it is, but female friendships are romantic and they do that in such a beautiful way, and it's the arc of the whole season, and it's I love it so much. I've seen it a million times at this point.
God, it was really good, but I think it was like too good. Like, it was too real that sometimes I had to stop because I was like, I don't want to live this again. This is too much. Like, yeah
it was very real.
It was super very, it was really real. Good. And yeah, I'm super stoked on it. I like that they like kept like the older actors.
Yeah,
and yeah,
I thought that was hilarious.
You can never
it was
do
so
that
funny.
With
because yeah, having uh-huh. those, yeah, it's wild.
They're like drinking and smoking, and I'm like, this is genius. Like, you don't have to endanger any children. You're doing it.
Yeah,
it's smart.
It seemed sort of like a gimmick. Like when I first heard about it, I was like, great, that's hilarious. I'm gonna watch it 100%. And then I watched it, thought it was amazing. laughed my ass off, and then it got kind of serious, and mm-hmm. and you could see like tears in their eyes, and I was like, you guys are treating this with the respect that, you know, that we would treat an adult storyline, and I just appreciate that so much because it meant so much when we were 13. That stuff was our whole world. Oh, I love them.
I think Maya cried. I think it was like a Fresh Air interview with Jerry Gross, and she like cried like during the interview because she's like, it wasn't really like that we did it on purpose. It was just like, we can't put kids through what mm-hmm. we really want to be showing on television, so we have to just play it ourselves. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily like a gimmick. It was just, we can't do that. That's illegal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was done so smartly. I again can't say enough nice things about those ladies.
And again, they created their own lane.
Yeah,
they did it themselves. They mm-hmm. created. They didn't see themselves. They did it. Mm-hmm. Punk rock. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. I fucking love it.
It was really good. I like that they, you know, in a lot of like TV, when it comes to sensitive topics like racism and stuff like that, they always make it. They make it super serious in like a, like almost like they're lecturing you mm-hmm. type of way. But in this one, it was just as awkward as it is in real life. It was just as confusing yeah. as it is in real life.
Yeah, know? Like she's laughing about it herself because she can't believe that she's going through something so like mature.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's amazing.
So yeah, Pen 15 all the way. You know, I'll be ready to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine when it comes back. I'll be ready for One Day at a Time. I'm so happy that Pop picked it up.
Come on, Pop TV.
So excited.
Shout out Pop TV. That's
I love One Day at a Time.
Everything.
Yeah. I like, it's my interview shirt. I always wear my One Day at a Time shirt for interviews. Everybody's like, do you work for them? Like, I fucking wish.
Shit, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm ready for them to come back, too. So, yeah. Any other shows that are making you excited for the future of television?
Oh my gosh.
Or film?
No, anything.
Well, if not, I it's also okay. I'll cut Book it off. Smart.
Oh. The soundtrack alone.
Speaking of alone. Soundtracks, I also loved Someone Great on Netflix.
Look. Truth Hurts was, yeah, the reason that I watched it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Not just that, I think they had like a UGK song in there or something.
Did they? That's they had a little Kim song from back in the day.
I think that's it was awesome. Either UGK or I think it was International Players Anthem. They had Frank Ocean doing Moon River at the very end.
Oh, yeah.
That blew my mind. I was like, what was their budget? Uh-huh. How did they afford Frank? And then that was amazing to me. And the writing? What?
Yeah, I thought that movie was very beautifully done. It was like all, you know, a rom-com that focused on the friends. And the friends that get you through that, you know? It's so wonderful. And it was funny and silly and weird and gross.
I like the message of, like, you know, like, betting, I guess, kind of betting on yourself, kind of like, you know, doing mm-hmm. things for yourself. I will say I did like that message a lot. I'm yeah. like, yeah, it's not always about a guy or a girl or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's dope. Okay, yeah. Well, let us know, let our listeners know, where yeah. can we find you? How can we support you, more importantly? Yes.
Yeah, you guys can find me. Well, the show Nasty Habits, we are at Nasty Habits TV on both Twitter and Instagram. I am Shut Up Christina on Twitter and Christina Filters Things on Instagram. Look out for season 3. Don't know when it's going to come out, but it'll come out.
Yeah. We all come out eventually.
Yeah, yeah. We do.
Nobody's straight. That's great. And when seasons 1 and 2 are already up, you yes. guys can go binge those right now.
Yeah,
I like the concept TV. On those that it's like it'll last as long as a cigarette.
Yeah.
That's
they
great.
Ended up being long cigarettes toward the end there.
Yeah. I mean, some cigarettes take a minute. You know? Yeah. Some of them are blunts. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, awesome. And we'll, of course, shout her out and post about all her stuff on cabronasychingonas.com and on CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. So follow us there for any updates. And thank you so much for driving all the way over here and being on our show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
It was an honor. Thank you so much.
Glad.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And good luck on everything. We can't wait to see more.
Yeah. I can't wait to do more. Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.